All right. Let's open our Bible tonight to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. I heard that last week Nini got you out of here by 8 o'clock. So I thought what I would do tonight is just forget that ever happened. And I'm just kidding. And no, we won't be long tonight. We'll have you out of here by 9. But all right. Psalm 25. While we were away, I don't know why, but I didn't even plan it, because in my reading I wasn't in Psalm 25, but for some reason one morning my eyes fell on this chapter, and I got a blessing out of it, and I wanted to read it again. I read it again the next morning, and then the next morning, and the next morning, and each time I read it, it just seemed to get better. And so I wanted just to share a few things with you from Psalm chapter 25. Not really any tremendous outline tonight, just a few thoughts that God impressed on my heart, and hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. I'd like to read the whole chapter if we could. So Psalm 25, it's only 22 verses long, so just read along there, with follow along as I read it, okay? Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? We'll sing that one here. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth, and teach me. For Thou art the God of my salvation. On Thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies and Thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to Thy mercy, remember Thou me for Thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn Thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring Thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on Thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. And this is one of the things that so many good verses in here and thoughts that were a blessing, but this was one of the things that just impressed itself on my heart. Verse 4. Show me Thy ways. Teach me Thy paths. Thy ways. Thy paths. Verse 8. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. Verse 9. The meek will He teach His way. Verse 10. all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Verse 12, the last part of the verse. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. And as you know, there are so many verses in the Bible that speak about the ways of the Lord, or the way of the Lord, the paths of the Lord. And one of the mornings that in Haiti that we read our Bibles together, we just read these verses and talked about this a little bit with the guys, how the Lord wants us to learn His ways. There's ways, plural, and there's way, singular. Two different things. Learn His ways. Learn His paths. Right? And to follow Him on those paths, because He leads us. And this is what, in verse 4 and 5, I saw this. It says, show me, teach me, and lead me. Show me. For the Lord to show you something, you got to be looking. For the Lord to teach you something, you got to be listening. And for the Lord to lead you, you got to be following. He wants you to see. He wants to show you so that you see it His way. And then He wants to teach you that way. First you got to see it before you can even learn about it. But He wants you to see it. Then He wants you to learn about it. And then He wants you to follow Him in it. Right? He wants to show you. He wants to teach you. And then wants to lead you in that. That was kind of the blessing that I got out of this. And I just thought about, well, if there are things that the Lord wants to show me, then I got to be looking. And if there are things that the Spirit of God wants to teach me, then I have to be listening. And if I want the Lord to lead me, then I have to be following Him. And if I'm not looking, then I'm not ever going to see the things the Lord wants me to see. If I'm not listening to Him, I'm not going to be taught the things concerning His ways that God wants me to learn. And if I'm not willing to follow Him, then I'm never going to be led in the way of righteousness. I'm never going to be led in the way, in the paths that the Lord wants me to go in. So those are kind of the three thoughts that I wanted to just talk about and think about with you tonight. All right, so first of all, I thought I'd just define the word way. It's like one of those words in the Bible that has a lot of different meanings. It sometimes can mean manner or method, like a way of doing something. Make that thing this way. You know, it's just a way, a manner, a method, a pattern. It can be a way of life. What do we mean by a way of life? It simply means a manner of living. It can also mean not only a manner of doing something, but it can mean a direction. You know, which way is Florida? Well, kind of like, I don't know, where are we? That way. That way's Florida. That way's heaven. It can refer to a direction, a generalized sort of direction, the way of the Lord. But also it can also mean a particular way, a particular route, Jesus said, I am the way. Right? That doesn't mean manner, that doesn't mean direction, that means a particular, straight and narrow way, a route. Right? And when you get in, like Isaiah chapter 40, for example, just turn there real quick, this is just maybe an example of how the word way is used to mean a particular route, a very particular route. It says in Isaiah 40, verse number 3, it's speaking about that prophet that would precede Jesus Christ and make ready the nation of Israel for the coming of the Lord. That man was John the Baptist. It was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 40 concerning him, and then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all testify that John the Baptist was the fulfillment of this verse. John, it says of him here in verse 3 that he was the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, and this was what he would cry. His message, in effect, would be saying this to Israel: prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So it's a particular, in other words, Jesus Christ came into this world a particular way. He came through Israel. He came through a virgin. He had to fulfill hundreds of prophecies. It was very, very specific. And John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord. By the way, that's a great verse to prove the deity of Jesus Christ, because Jesus was the Lord coming into this world. Prepare the way of the Lord. So, the Lord wants us to learn, in Psalm chapter 25, it says, thy paths, thy ways. So, that seems to indicate that God has ways that are different from our ways. That's what Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 say. God says, your ways are not my ways. My ways are higher than your ways. So there are the Lord's ways, and there are our ways. And since way can mean several different things, man has his own way of doing things. Man has his own direction that his course in life is taking him. There's man's way, there's man's ways, and then there's God's ways, and then there's God's way. And there's always this contrast between the ways of the Lord and the ways of man. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, you don't have to turn there, but it, you know the verse pretty well. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own what? Way. To his own way, right? As long as the sheep follow the shepherd, follow the way he's going, they're safe. But when God looks down on mankind, he just sees us like, sees man, the world, like sheep without a shepherd. And every sheep just going its own way. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's mankind, going his own way. Now, God says, well, I have my way, and then man has his way. So, man by nature is not going in the way of the Lord. He doesn't know anything about the ways of God. He has to be shown them, taught them, and then led in them by the Lord. It doesn't come naturally. Nobody naturally knows the way of truth. Nobody knows the way to heaven. By nature, nobody has that understanding, has that knowledge. It has to be shown to them. God has to show it. God has to reveal it. The gospel has to be taught to men. And then they can walk in that way. And then Jesus Christ will lead them in that way. Psalm chapter 1. Look at this. Psalm 1. And I'll just admit to you tonight, I prepared this with Kristen in mind, Mike's niece, thinking, I wanted to be a blessing to you too, but I wanted to, because he shared some things about her situation, her story, this dilemma that she's in. And I was just hoping tonight we could just lay out these two paths before her and help her to see the difference. So if she's not here, then that means this is for somebody else. So I don't know which one of you this is mostly for tonight, but I know somebody in here tonight is going to need this. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So there is a manner of living. There is a way of going through life that the lost all have in common. They follow their own desires. They're walking in their own paths. Those paths don't lead to God. Those paths lead to destruction. And the Bible says that He will bless the man that avoids those paths and avoids those ways. God said, I will bless the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, if the man that God will bless is the man that turns his ear away from the advice of the unsaved, the counsel of the ungodly, you know, they all have opinions about what you should do with your life and how you should live your life, totally ignorant of what God's desires are, totally ignorant of the Word of God. And any saved man that walks in that counsel is a real fool. If you're saved and you think more of the advice, influence, help of your unsaved friends than you do a brother in Christ or the Word of God, then you really are a foolish person. Because that counsel is never going to do you good in life. That counsel is not going to improve your marriage. That counsel is not going to make you a better father or a better husband. It's not going to make you a servant of God. It's just always going to, you know, it's the advice of the world and the wisdom of the world, and God laughs at it, and it's going to do you harm. So God will bless the man that will avoid that, and God will bless the man that stays out of the way of sinners. Don't walk in that way, it says. Don't stand in that way. And don't sit in the seat of the scornful. And we won't read this whole chapter, but just jump down toward the end. And the Lord shows the contrast between the saved and the lost, the ungodly and the righteous here in this case. Just think of this as the saved and the lost. God looks down on humanity, and that's what He sees. Saved people and lost people. Those who are the sons of God and those whose father is still the devil. That's what God sees. He's not looking at nationality and racial differences. He's not looking at skin color. He's looking at the heart. He knows those who are His own, and He knows those who are not His own. And God's showing you in this great psalm, Psalm 1, He's just showing you the contrast. This is how God sees the world. He says, first in verse 2 and 3, He talks about how He'll bless the man that avoids that counsel and doesn't stand in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. It tells you what God tells you, what I'm going to do with a guy like that. You make this book your delight. You learn to love the Word of God, and you will see God bless your life. You'll see it. You'll see it with your own eyes. In Haiti, one of the services one night, I asked everybody to hold up their Bible. I mean, there wasn't even, I don't know, 10% of the people in the room that had a Bible with them. And I asked Maurice, you know, do Haitian people have Bibles? He said, no, not usually. What they get, they're just going to get from the preacher on Sunday. They go to church, whatever they hear, that's what they might read. I don't remember the statistic, but you only retain a certain, like, small percentage of what you hear. And that's all they're getting, is what they hear in the church services. And they're pumped up. Many of the Christians there are pumped up on emotion. They can sing and praise, and they like to move, and they like to shout, and they like... But man, on Friday we had a picnic, and several of the churches came together, and I brought a short lesson and then a question and answer time. And the questions that these Christians were asking were really sad. Because I don't know if there was anybody in that group of about 100 people that understood the simplest doctrine related to salvation. And I don't know, it broke my heart. It was really heartbreaking that day. Because these people were trying to figure out, like, and supposedly they were all Christians, but they didn't understand justification by faith, salvation by simply trusting the Lord. They're all thinking they got to live a certain life in order to get to heaven. They got to be good. They got to be faithful. And what if I start out and I'm doing good in the beginning and then I fall away? And then how do you get saved again? And I mean, the questions were really sad. It was like some of our third and fourth graders here would ask. But the root of that problem is that they don't have a Bible. Most of them do not have a Bible that they're reading and meditating in and studying all week long. They're just trying to remember things they heard from the preacher. And you're not going to grow that way. You know, it's sad to say, a lot of Christians in this country are the same way. You might own a Bible, but what are you doing with it Monday through Saturday? You might carry it with you to church on Sunday, but I wonder how many of our people right here are really reading your Bible throughout the week, reading it, meditating in it. You know, God promised that He would bless the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates in the law of the Lord day and night. You know, get into the Word of God and you'll see God bless you. But then it goes in verse number 4, it says, the ungodly are not so. In other words, the ungodly cannot expect the blessings of God on their life. Now, He does cause the sun to shine on the righteous and the ungodly, but God is not going to pour out His special blessings upon the unsaved. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The chaff is that part of the wheat that's not good to eat. It's that husk on the outside, and the old-fashioned way of doing it, I guess, I don't know anything about farming, but it had something to do with a rake, and you throw it up in the air, and you winnow it or beat it or something. Some of you farmers might know, all right? And then they throw it up in the air, and the wind would because the chaff is lighter than the kernel of wheat. The kernel of wheat is heavier. It falls right back down to the ground. The part you can't eat, the part that's waste, the part that's refuse, the wind blows it away. The Bible says that chaff, that useless part that's good for nothing, that the wind blows away, God says that's the ungodly. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. It's not a very noble opinion and view that God has of the unsaved. But it says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They have no place of standing. You and I can stand before the Lord. We don't stand in our own righteousness, but we stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Right? I have a standing before the Lord. And He's not looking at my righteousness. I don't have anything in me that allows me to come before God and stand before Him as a son of God, because my righteousness, just like yours, is filthy rags. But we can stand before God in the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. When we trust the Lord to save us, He imputes to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's our standing. The ungodly are not so. They have no standing. They can't stand before the Lord one day. You and I can because of Jesus Christ. But the ungodly cannot stand in the judgment, cannot stand in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6. Now watch this last verse. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He knows the path that you take. He knows every detour. He knows every plane you're going to miss. He knows every health issue. He knows every bad report from a doctor. He knows the way of the righteous. We don't even have to inform Him. Lord, do you see what's going on down here? Do you realize what I'm going through? Did you not, maybe get up this morning on time? What? No, He knows the way of the righteous. He knows every step. He knows every thought. He knows every event that hasn't even happened to you yet. He sees it all, knows it all. He knows the way of the righteous. And then it says, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So there's two directly opposite ways. The way of the righteous, the way of the ungodly. The Bible makes that so clear that there are these two different ways all through the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 7, it's a kind of a basic verse. Most of you would know it. Maybe not. Matthew chapter 7. Enter ye in at the straight... Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Straight here being tight, small. Like a straight jacket that would, constrain you. Narrow, tight fitting. Right? Enter in at the straight gate. For wide is... So here's a straight gate and a wide gate. Enter in, God's advice is, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So the way to destruction is crowded. Most of the people are on that way. They've gone through that wide gate. They're on that broad way. I wonder if it's probably not a coincidence that Broadway, lots of cities have streets named that. But anyway, but the Lord likens the way to hell, the way to destruction, as being a wide gate and a broad way. And He tells you don't go to Broadway. Some of you are going, I don't know that, I don't hear that. And But He likens that to the road to hell. That is the road to hell. It's crowded. It's popular. There's plenty of fellowship there. That's the crowd you want to fellowship with. But then He likens the path of the righteous, the way of the righteous. It says, because, verse 14, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's just a basic principle in life. There will be more people go to hell than go to heaven. To hear some preachers at funerals, practically everybody's going to go to heaven. I think the only one that's going to be in hell is maybe Hitler and Idi Amin and a couple of guys like that. Yeah. And everybody else in the entire world, with the exception of maybe four or five people, they're all going to be in heaven. The scriptures say just the opposite. Few, few, compared to many. Narrow, compared to broad. Straight, compared to wide. So there's two different ways. The way of the world, crowded, wide, lots of latitude, lots of flexibility, anything goes. The way of the Lord, pretty narrow. Pretty narrow. And you know what? You don't know that way by nature. The Lord has to show it to you. The Lord has to teach it to you. And then Jesus Christ has already walked it before you, so He'll lead you in it. And all you have to do is just follow Him. He doesn't just throw you a roadmap and tell you good luck. You follow Him, and He goes in front of you. It's a blessing to follow somebody that knows where they're going. You ever been in a car caravan and you have your doubts whether the guy out in front has any idea where he's going? But it's a blessing to follow somebody that you're certain they know where they're going. All right, so all you got to do is, you don't really care whether you go left or right, you just keep your eyes on the one in front of you. And you just know and trust that if I follow Him, we're going to get where we're going. And that's all that the Lord asks us to do. He says, I'll show you the way, and then I'll teach you, and then you just follow Me. I mean, what a blessing that is. The option is, just go your own way. Go the way of the crowd. And that ends badly. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4 verse 14. I love this passage from 14 down to 19. It's another one of those, I don't know, those classic passages in the Bible that a Christian ought to be familiar with. You ought to memorize it if possible. Read it now and then. It'll challenge your heart. It says in verse number 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. Sounds like Psalm chapter 1 verse 1. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Don't do what the world does. Don't join in their activities. Say, well, everything the world does isn't wrong, isn't sinful. Well, then you better let the Lord show you and teach you the ways that are right, the ways that are wrong. Because you don't know. There's a whole lot of things that you thought were fine before you got saved. And now, even if you're a young Christian, you've probably learned some of those things are not fine. Right? And you didn't need me to tell you don't do this or don't do that. You get in the book, the Spirit of God will tell you. Whereas maybe before you were saved, you had no idea. There are a lot of things that I thought were okay before I was saved. And then after I was saved, there was just something inside me that would not let me do those things anymore in peace. I had no peace about doing it. It wasn't as much fun. When I did it, it was like I felt dirty. I felt convicted. I felt this can't be pleasing to God, and it bothered me. That's the Spirit of God teaching you His way and showing you His way. We need that. None of us in here are smart enough on our own to know automatically the ways of the Lord. We need God to show us and teach us. It means we've got to be looking and we've got to be listening. We've got to be wanting to be taught. And then it says, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. I think the Lord was clear. Did He say it enough times? Did you get the message? Did you get the point? Right, he reiterates it four times, says it four different ways, so that maybe, you know, I kind of get it now, Lord. You don't want me to go that way. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Don't even get near it. Turn from it. Pass away. And then he speaks about the wicked here, verse 16. For they sleep not except they've done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. That's the unsaved. They like taking somebody down with them. They like some company in their sin. They would love to see you participate a little bit in their activities. And even though they don't plot your destruction, they may not be actively planning and discussing among themselves how to get you to sin. It's in the heart of every lost person. They would enjoy seeing you sin. They would enjoy it. Because it justifies their activities. To see a child of God participate in the things that they do certainly strengthens them in their sin, makes you to be a hypocrite in their eyes, maybe makes all of Christianity to just look hypocritical in their eyes. And they love to make somebody else fall along with them. Their sleep is taken away. You know, they can't rest until they've just helped somebody to sin like they sin. And then verse number 17, they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light. You remember when you walked in darkness? You didn't know where you were going. You had no clue, struggling with what is right, what is wrong, your conscience bothering you. I mean, it's a blessing to have a book that is a light and a lamp for us. We have light now. We're to walk as children of light. We don't walk in the darkness anymore. We have light. It says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That means, as you and I get closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, if you stay in this book, the way for you, the way of God, the path of the righteous, the way to live in a way that pleases God should become more and more clear to you. Not murkier, but clearer. A guy that's been saved for 5 or 10 or 15 years should understand better after 15 years of being saved and reading God's Word. He should understand better how to walk with God than a guy that's been saved for 6 months. But that's not always the case. Sometimes a Christian can be saved for a long time and he's still confused. He still doesn't see clearly the difference between light and dark. He doesn't see clearly the things between righteousness and ungodliness. It's just all blurred. And so he just stumbles along, making the same mistakes he did when he was a week old in the Lord. But God says that the path of the just, you stay in this book, you stay close to the Lord, you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, and it says the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That path should get easier to see. It doesn't get easier to walk. It just gets easier to see. You still need grace to walk it. You still need to follow Jesus Christ to stay on it. But it gets easier to see the difference between the path and all the nonsense on the sides. It just gets clearer. And then it says in verse number 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So let's go back to Psalm 25 now. Let's look at the show me, the teach me, and the lead me. All right, so first of all, the show me. Psalm 25 and verse number 4. Psalm 25 and verse 4. Show me. For the Lord to show me something, I've got to be looking. I need my eyes opened. I need the Lord to open my eyes. David prayed that prayer. Open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. That is a great prayer to pray. You want God to show you something? Ask Him to open your eyes. Pray that prayer. That is an amazing and a wonderful prayer to pray as a Christian. Because God loves a prayer like that. He loves it when a child of God says, Lord, show me something. I want to open this book today, and I don't want to just see words on a page. I just don't want to see my reading schedule for the day. Got to get my chapter in, or my two or my three chapters in. Lord, I want to see truth today. I want to see You today. I want to see Your face today. You ask the Lord that prayer, like David prayed it, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Why would God not answer a prayer like that? Why would God not show you if you ask to be shown? You'll see something. You'll learn something in the Scriptures. The Lord will show you. He'll show you truth. And He'll show you the way, show you the path, show you what you need to do. But you've got to ask. That's what verse 4 is. Isn't that a request? Verse 4 is a prayer, right? What is David saying? Lord, show me. That's a request. He's asking God. He wants to see. And maybe you and I miss a lot of things because we never asked the Lord to show us. We may miss some things because we didn't ask for the Lord to show us. We didn't ask sincerely. David asked, not only here, but so many other times. Notice in verse number 15, David was looking in the right direction. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. You want to see something? You keep your eyes in the right direction. If your eyes are always turned in the direction of the world, remember like Lot in the Old Testament? After Lot had come back from Egypt, and Lot and Abraham separated from each other because they both had become prosperous and there wasn't enough grazing land, I guess, for all their cattle and sheep, and Abraham's the shepherds and the workers from Abraham and Lot, they were contending with one another, and so Abraham said, let's separate, and he gave Lot the choice. You go wherever you want to go, I'll take what's left. You go north, I'll go south. You go this way, I'll go that way. He gave Lot the choice. And anybody remember Lot's choice? Where did he move? He moved right down towards Sodom. Right closer, as close to the world as he could get. And then in another verse there, it says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now what do you think that means? Pitched his tent towards Sodom. That means when Lot came out of that tent in the morning with his cup of coffee and the daily news, opened that door, the first thing he wanted to see was Sodom. He's not living in it yet, but he's looking in that direction. And you know, you might not have walked off the cliff in your spiritual life and made a disaster and a shipwreck out of your Christian life, but if you're looking in that direction and you don't turn your eyes away, eventually you're going to be there. Because just read the story a little further, and eventually Lot is living in Sodom. Why? That's what his eyes had been on for a long time. He must have been looking down from those hills down toward that city when he was up there with Abraham in the hills. And the Bible says that in those days, Sodom, that area around Sodom, was well watered, just like Egypt. It just reminded him of Egypt when he had been in Egypt. The world reminded him of the world. And Lot just enjoyed the world. He just wanted more of it. And that's where his eyes were turned. David said, verse 15, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. You know, if your eyes are looking at the world all the time, and you're filling your eyes with the things of this world, you're going to miss some things that God wanted to show you. You're going to miss it. And it won't be God's fault that you're walking in ignorance. It won't be God's fault. You got to turn your eyes toward the Lord, like David did. Look in chapter 26, verse 3. David said, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. In other words, David is just meditating and thinking on the attributes of God. And he's got right before him, in his thoughts, I mean, he's not physically looking toward the Lord, obviously, but in his mind, his heart, he's inclined in that direction. His desires are to know the Lord better. He's looking in that direction. The loving kindness of God is before his eyes. He's thinking on that. That's the kind of a man that God's going to show some things to. And that doesn't have to be somebody who's been saved for 20 years. It can be a guy saved just a few months. If he's hungry for God to show him truth, if you're hungry to get to know your Savior, and you'll turn your eyes away from the things of this world, turn your eyes toward Jesus Christ, he'll open your eyes, he'll show you some things. Show me, David said. Show me. Show me thy ways, O Lord. You have to be looking, and the Lord will show you. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Not everybody sees the things of God clearly. Anybody remember, I just thought of this, the Laodicean church. Anybody remember one of the attributes of the Laodicean church? Blind. What did God recommend that they do? Get some salve and anoint their eyes that you might see. It's one of the attributes of the Laodicean time. Christians who are blind. It's not talking about the lost, but the saved who can't see, who don't see the difference between what is spiritual and what is carnal, the difference between what is pleasing to God and what is just pleasing to the flesh. They don't see it. That's an attribute of our time that we live in. It's an attribute of the Christianity of these last days. Christians who can't see, who are blind. And the Lord said, I counsel thee that you get some salve and anoint your eyes so that you could see. Proverbs chapter 12, look at verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And there are some Christian fools. I've met a few. You could point out their sin, their errors, right out of the Scriptures. They don't see it. You're just judging me. Now that's just your opinion. Well, you don't know my circumstances. Try and point out to some guys who don't treat their children and their wives right. Have some guy, well, you don't know what I live with at home. You don't know what she's like, or you don't know this, you don't know that. The way of a fool is always right in his own eyes. It's hard to make a fool even see the foolishness of his own ways. He doesn't see it. It's right. And when you counsel him out of the Word of God, you're the guy that's critical, judgmental. You don't know what you're talking about. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. I mean, just say, Lord, show me. Show me your ways. Show me your ways. Look at this verse, Proverbs 16 and verse 2. Proverbs 16 and verse 2. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. Now, the natural man, he doesn't always see things wrong with the way he lives. How would he know unless the Lord showed him? A lot of guys, you know, unsaved men, good fathers, good providers, you know, not robbing banks, not killing people. You know, they look around and compare themselves to the rest of the world, and as far as they're concerned, they're doing okay. Look, I got money in the bank, I got a house, I got a car, I got a boat, I got this, I got vacations, I got that. My kids are healthy, my wife is happy. You know, take that Bible and give that to somebody else. Give that to somebody that needs it. That's a crutch for people that are, you know, weak, too weak to make it through this world. Ever heard that? It's just a crutch for the weak. Yeah, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. He's looking on the inside. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Same chapter there. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He doesn't even see that the broad path he's on is taking him to destruction. He doesn't see it. Even if you point it out to him, sometimes he doesn't see it, doesn't realize it. Why? He can't see the ways of God. He can't see the way of the Lord. It's not in man to see that. The Bible says it's not in man to direct his own steps. The way of man is not in himself. He can't see it. He doesn't know how to guide himself in the right way. That's why God has to show it to us. God has to teach us out of His Word, and then God says, I don't just push you out there and send you off. I'll get out in front of you and I'll lead you. I'll show you and I'll teach you, and then I'll lead you in that way. So God has to open our eyes and God has to show us. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 28. Proverbs 12, 28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. What a contrast to 16:25, right? The contrast. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But in the way of righteousness is life. And the pathway thereof, there is no death. So these are obviously two totally different ways of going through the world, going through life. One leads to death, one leads to life. Go back to Psalm 25. I like this. Verse 10. All the paths of the Lord, every single way He may lead you in, every route that God may take you, if you're following Him. Now you can get yourself in on some routes that will take you to your own destruction, But all the paths of the Lord, the one that He leads you in, the ones that He'll, if you're following Him, you know what you're going to find? Mercy and truth. That's a blessing. All the paths, all it says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy. Wouldn't you like to be walking on a path where every step you're just getting mercy from God? Mercy. 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 You can't appreciate mercy until you've been guilty. If you don't feel you're guilty, then mercy's not big on your list of blessings. But if you see the sin in your own life, then you're going to appreciate mercy every day. And all the paths of the Lord are mercy. Mercy. Forgiveness. Pardon. In one of the verses here in Psalm 25, it talks about His tender mercies, right? Where was that? Verse 6. Remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies and Thy loving kindnesses, for they are ever of old. You know, you walk in the way that the Lord would have you to walk in, and you know what you're going to find from God every day? Forgiveness, mercy, loving kindness, tender mercy. In one of the other verses in Psalm 25, David just cries out, Lord, don't remember the sins of my youth, all that foolishness I did, Lord, in my past. Lord, forget all that stuff. Would you please just forget that? Forgive that. And you know what? When you're walking with the Lord, that's what you find. Mercy. But you go off on your own path, and you're going to find chastening. You're going to find judgment. You're going to find heartache, sorrow, dead ends, loss. But the ways of the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Alright? And then back to verse number 4. Show me Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me. Now, for the Lord to show me, I got to be looking. But for the Lord to teach me, I got to be listening. I have to be listening. Verse number 4, teach me. Verse number 5, lead me in Thy truth and teach me. Look at verse number 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will He teach sinners in the way. Verse 9, the meek will He teach His way. Verse number 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that he shall choose. Right? So He not only wants to show you the way, but He wants to teach it to you. Now, teaching implies there's a lot of things to be learned. There are things that I need to be instructed in. Living righteously doesn't come naturally to me. Living a Christian life that is pleasing to God, how do I know how to do that? What sinner would know how to do that? The world can't figure it out. Religion doesn't teach it to you. Only the Spirit of God and the Scriptures, God teaches us through the Scriptures. He teaches us, His ways teaches us through the Word of God. But we got to be listening. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah 30. It's a beautiful verse here. Isaiah 30. Look at verse number 21. Isaiah 30. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Isn't that a blessing? What is that word that you hear behind you? Isn't that the Spirit of God just guiding you, directing you, giving you the answers? There were some specific things that I prayed for on this trip, and I won't tell you what they are, but there were some specific things I needed answers from God about. And the answers actually came on Thursday morning. And I don't know, at the time I didn't register why. I had some questions in my mind, just some direction I needed, some wisdom I needed about some things. And the answer to two things specifically that I was asking the Lord for and praying about came on Thursday morning. And a few minutes, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes after I saw it and understood it, I mean, the answer wasn't written right there in the Scriptures, but from reading the Scriptures, something was just settled in my heart and it became clear to me. And then I realized, wow, what time is it? And it was right around the time that the saints were here in Staten Island praying at the morning prayer meeting. And I was praying and reading the Scriptures in Haiti, And it was like, it just, the Lord taught me some things that morning. And something became clear and settled in my heart. And I know what I need to do about a couple of things that I was praying for. And there's no doubt in my mind, I know what I have to do. And God gave me some wisdom and gave me an answer. He taught me some things from the Scriptures. And it's almost like this. It says, "Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Go this way." You know, when you're trying to figure out, do I go left or do I go right? What do I do here? Do I just wait? Do I stop? Do I go forward? Do I just step ahead by faith? Do I just wait on God? What am I supposed to do? The Lord doesn't leave you in dilemmas like that. If you want an answer, cry out to God. Ask the Lord and then listen. You know, be listening. And listen for the Spirit of God to speak to you through the Scriptures. That's what He said. You're not going to hear an audible voice, obviously. But the Spirit of God is going to give you that clarity and that wisdom and that understanding that you'll know what you need to do. He'll give you the answer. He'll lead you, as He said in one verse, I think it's, I don't remember if I wrote Psalm 27, verse 11, that says, "Teach me Thy way, O Lord, lead me in a plain path," I think is how that verse goes, Psalm 27, 11. Psalm 27, yeah, "Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path." Plain. Clear it up, Lord. I can't see which way. I can't see the path clearly. I don't know what I should do. Which way does this route go? David is praying, "Lord, clear this up for me. Make it plain. Make it clear. Lead me in a plain path." It's okay to pray that way. It's okay to ask the Lord to clarify things for you, let you see it clearly, let you understand it, give you wisdom about it, and then that answer comes. This is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. He'll teach you in the way. Go to Psalm 119 real quick. Psalm 119. That teaching comes through the Word of God. That's how the Holy Spirit teaches you. Holy Spirit is our teacher now that we're saved, right? Okay. Holy Spirit's your teacher. And whatever you really are going to learn in your heart, you're going to learn it from God. Now you might hear it from me, but you won't learn it from me. Because there's going to be a room full of people that hear it from me, but don't learn it. Only the Holy Spirit can teach it to you. And you learn it from Him. He's the teacher. And if the Spirit of God, if you're listening and you want it, and you want to know, and you want to learn, the Spirit of God will teach you. And He'll do it through the Word of God. Psalm 119, look at verse 14. "I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches." Verse 27. Psalm 119, verse 27. "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts." Make me to understand the way. The way of Thy precepts. In other words, the ways of the Lord are found right here in His precepts. They're in His Word. How do I know the ways of God? How do I know the path that I should take? I mean, who do you consult? Where do you look? You look for signs, you know? You look for some sign in the clouds, you know? How do you know? Where does the Lord give you the answers that come out of the Scriptures? "Make me to understand the way of Thy precepts." Look at verse number 30. "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." The way of truth. I've laid your words. I've laid your judgments before me. Verse 33. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of Thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." And it goes on and on. Psalm 119 has several of those where it's talking about teaching you the way. You understanding the way. Learning the way. Finding the way. The Lord reveals it to you. I think He reveals it gradually. You and I don't have all the answers yet. There's a lot for every one of us yet to learn. No matter how long we've been saved, the Lord is just going to continue to teach you. But we have to be listening. Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 10, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, And it's going to list some things that are going to happen as a result of that. So I guess the opposite is true. If you never get wisdom and you never get understanding and you never get knowledge, some Christians never get wisdom. They never get knowledge. They don't know anymore 5 or 10 years after getting saved than they did when they got saved. The Lord wants to teach you and wants you to grow in your knowledge, grow in your understanding, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. You know, so there's some, you know, desire, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So you're going to increase in understanding, increase in knowledge. And when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, when you enjoy learning, you enjoy the Lord teaching you, you enjoy getting and knowing the things of God. For some people, it's not pleasant. It's just unpleasant. But when learning the Word of God becomes pleasant to you, look at what the results are. It says, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Now, you're going to know how to keep yourself out of the wrong way. It's going to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. You see, how does a Christian know to avoid that? How does he judge? That's evil. I don't need to be a part of that. That's not pleasing to God. Those things may have been okay before I was saved, but I shouldn't participate in it now. And maybe some of it isn't even, you know, outwardly or you know, desperately wicked, but if you're wise, when wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge becomes pleasant to you, then you're going to be able to see, that's not going to be good for me spiritually. That's not going to be good for my testimony. That's something I ought to avoid just for the sake of the Lord. You know, that isn't going to help me walk with God. You're going to know things are going to, you're going to know the ways of man to avoid. It'll just become more evident to you. And if it's still unclear, you're still making the same mistakes 15 years after you were saved, then you know what? That's probably an indication you're not in this book, and this book is not in you. This book is not dwelling in your heart. If you hide it in your heart, it's going to help you not to sin against God. When wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge becomes pleasant to you, then you're going to be able to avoid these kind of things. Look at verse number... let's skip down here. To deliver that, verse 14, who rejoice to do evil. Verse 15, whose ways are crooked. Verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. You know, the devil has taken down a lot of good men just by putting the wrong kind of a woman in their life. It's happened more than once. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. You know, the stories that take place in the Bible are for our learning. How come is it that great men, even a man like David, whose heart was for the Lord, who wrote most of the Psalms, this great man of God, this great king, could almost be destroyed by a woman? He's not the only one. And it doesn't mean that Bathsheba was evil. She actually didn't have any part in his sin. That was all David's sin. But many other men in the Scriptures, the devil has brought them down just by bringing the wrong woman in their life. Now, how does a man even know what to avoid or what to look for in a woman? What does a woman know? How does she know what to look for in a man? If it's just the outward appearance, if it's just the physique, or it's just the way she wears her hair, the kind of perfume she's got on, then a man is not very spiritual. But what happens? Wisdom and knowledge give you discretion. They help you to discern. Help you to see the difference between what's good, what's bad, what's pleasing to God, what's not pleasing to God. To deliver thee, verse 16, from the strange woman. In this case, strange doesn't mean she's odd. I mean, a stranger was somebody outside the nation of Israel. A stranger. Someone who was not a part of the family of God. The strange woman here is that woman who doesn't know the Lord. She doesn't know your God. She doesn't have a desire and a heart for the things of God. And some men have been deceived. You know, more than one guy has hoped that evangelistic dating, you know, would be, you know, God would bless it. And Sometimes God in His mercy has allowed it to work out okay. But more often than not, it causes a man to stumble. And it's just, it's like playing roulette with your heart and your life and your testimony and your ministry and everything else. So to be careful with that. It says, the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. And all of that, this admonition, this warning here in verse number 20, is that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. So here are ways and paths that are right, ways and paths that are good, ways and paths that are evil. How does a Christian know the difference? Let God teach you. Let wisdom enter into your heart. Let knowledge become pleasant to you. And then what? These ways become clear. You can see what to avoid. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to go with those people. I see where that's going. I know what the price is going to be if I continue on this path. So you could deliver yourself from the snare of the devil. Otherwise, you're just walking into a trap every other day. All right? Let's see. All right, let's skip ahead. All right, Psalm 25, then the next thing was, show me, teach me, and then lead me. Show me, teach me, lead me. Well, the Lord does want to lead us. We already read Psalm 27, verse 11. Lead me in a plain path. Lead me. And that's what the Lord does. I'm glad He doesn't save us and then just shove us out the door and say, you know, I'll see you in heaven. Hope you make it. If you need me, call, you know. No. What is it? I think it's in John chapter 10. It says, when He putteth forth His sheep, He goeth before them. That's the shepherd I have. When he putteth forth His sheep, when it's time to leave the fold and travel across this barren land, when He putteth forth His sheep, He goeth before them. He leads us, right? He leads us. That means if He's leading, I better follow. If He's going that way, then I better go that way too. If He's going that way, and I see in the Scriptures He's going that way, I don't want to go that way. I want to follow my shepherd. I want to follow the Lord. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 20. This and one more verse and we're done. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 20. This is the Lord speaking here. It says, I lead. I lead. I like that. I lead. You follow. All right? You don't lead and I follow you, the Lord is saying. I lead in the way of righteousness. What's my job? Follow the one that's leading. The Lord says, I lead, you follow. All right? John chapter 8, verse 12. Last verse. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me, shall not walk in darkness. I was thinking about to follow somebody when you don't know the way, it takes a lot of trust. Right? When He says, follow me. I lead, follow me. Well, what does it take to just get your eyes on Him and just go right behind Him? That takes confidence. That takes trust. You've got to have total confidence that the one that just told you to follow Him has your best interests at heart. Is never going to lead you into anything that is going to hurt you. And that if you're going to have to trust that if you follow Him, you're going to end up where you should have ended up. Not only as far as your eternal life is concerned, but as far as your career, as far as relationships, as far as who to marry or who not to marry, as far as what to do in all the decisions of life. If you trust Him, then you can follow Him. But if you don't trust Him, you're going to take a look at the path He seems to be taking you in. Say, no, I don't think so. I'll see you later. If I get in trouble, I'll call. And you don't trust him. You don't trust him. Because not every path he leads you in does he show you in advance how it's going to come out. You don't see, perhaps, at every turn, what's coming ahead. But if you trust him and you just stay close to him and follow close behind him so nothing else gets in the way. I don't know if you've ever tried to follow somebody through a crowd. No? And you're window shopping while they're walking. And, you know, just keep your eyes on them. You don't know where you're going. You've got to keep your eye on that one. And you say, oh, there's a sale over here in the window. And, oh, wait a minute. Somebody stops. And before you know it, he's 3 blocks down the street and made a left. And now, wait a minute. Where did he go? Keep your eyes on him. Stay close. Trust him. The Lord knows which way he's going. He knows the way of the righteous. And if we follow him, he'll lead us in the right way. I'm going to do like David. Just pray the way David did. Lord, show me. Lord, teach me. Lord, lead me. For David to say, lead me, that means David already intended to follow. Right? He already intended to follow. Just wants the Lord to go before him. I'll keep my eyes on you. And Lord, you lead me in the way I should go. That was the blessing that I got out of Psalm 25. I hope it's a help. All right, let's bow our heads.